Father, I thank you for each of these women. I thank you for this opportunity to study your word together. Father, I thank you just for the time of fellowship that's already been had. Father, I thank you just for friendships that maybe are forming even right now. Father, I just pray for your presence in this room this morning. Father, I pray that you would guard my words, that you would, Father, allow only what is from you to come from my mouth. And Father, I pray that your spirit would move in power and would open hearts and minds to understand. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Well, for those of you that I don't know, my name is Rachel Dethridge, and I'm going to be teaching over the next 10 weeks of this study, and I am ridiculously excited for this. I have been preparing for this for several months now, and so this date has been on my calendar for so long. I'm like giddy, excited that it's finally here, and it is such a joy just to see each one of you here this morning. I'm just excited and really just anticipating what the Lord is going to do as we dig into this study. So a little bit about me. I have been here at Providence for about 7 years. I'm on staff. I assist staff Sheen, and then I also do some of the communication for the church. And so I've been in that role for about 2 years, and it is an absolute joy. Around the same time that I started on staff, I also started serving in women's ministry. So I've been involved in women's Bible studies since like really my first month here at Providence, probably. But I started serving about 2 years ago, and honestly, have really just developed a love for ministry to women, and especially a love for just encouraging women to get into God's Word and discover truth there, and just to see Jesus in Scripture. And so I'm so excited for this study. I have been a believer for about 30 years. I came to know the Lord when I was really young, grew up in a Christian home, and so I have been in God's Word really all of my life. That has been one of God's gifts to me. But I'm going to be really honest and tell you that like it has only been in probably the last couple of years that I have really come to the point where I want to get into all of Scripture. I have been really familiar with the New Testament for all of my life, and the Old Testament has been really kind of scary to me and a little bit overwhelming. And so I am just excited to share a little bit of my own journey and how the Lord has used even this book, even this study, just to grow my love for all of Scripture. So I'm going to start this morning by showing you a picture. And so here's how this is going to work. I'm going to show you the picture. And if you think that you know what you're looking at in this picture, I want you just to raise your hand. Don't yell it out. You're going to ruin the fun for everybody if you yell it out, okay? So, all right. So I'm going to hold up the picture. And when you think you know what you're looking at, I want you just to raise your hand, okay? So I'll show it to you a few different ways. Raise your hand if you think you know it. We'll see who the overachievers are. Anybody? Okay. We've got one so far. Crystal. All right. Okay. A few more. Okay. I'm going to show it to you a little bit bigger on the screen, and we'll see if that helps. Anybody have it? No? Okay. All right. This is working. Okay. I'm going to give you a few clues. First clue, what you're looking at is an animal. Anybody have it? No? Oh, we actually lost some, huh? Okay. All right. Here's a little bit more context. Okay. This is a nose. Anybody? Oh, wow. Okay. We've got one. All right. We're getting a couple here. Okay. All right. Here we go. Okay. We're getting a little more context. This is an ear. Anybody seeing it?
Yes.
No. All right. One more context clue. This is an eye, or thereabouts is an eye. Anyone?
No.
Okay. All right. If you think you've got it, raise your hand for me. All right. You got there. Okay. All right, go ahead and yell it out. What are we looking at?
A cow.
A cow. Okay. So the rest of you, do you see it now?
Nope.
You see it? It's all coming into view, right? Got it? Some of you are still listening? Okay, here we go. All right, now here's what I'm going to do. Okay, we're going to go back to the picture, and I want you to tell me if you see it right away, okay?
Yeah.
Who sees the cow? Yeah, you see it? Okay. Okay. We can keep going with those forever. All right. Here's the deal. I want you actually to hold on to that confusion that you felt when you first looked at that picture. Because I think if we're honest, that confusion is what a lot of us feel when we look at the Bible, right? We look at the Bible and we open up to maybe the minor prophets and we go, all right, I know that there's something here that I'm supposed to be able to see. I know that there's a picture here, that there's a pattern here, but I'm not getting it. I don't see it. We're not alone in this. We're going to be looking at Luke 24 today. So you can go ahead and open your Bibles to Luke 24. And we're going to see that the same thing was true of some of Jesus' disciples, some of his followers. We're going to see that they were struggling to get the context, just like we were. Because remember, when I gave you that context, like when I pointed to the nose, suddenly it all started to come into focus, right? When I pointed to the ears, to the eye, it started to come into focus. And so we're going to see how the scriptures started to come into focus for these disciples in Luke 24. All right, so we are going to start in verse 13. And I'll put it up here on the screen as well. So that very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. I'm going to pause there real quick. So this is happening 3 days after Jesus had died. It's 3 days after he died. And some of Jesus' followers have gone to the tomb and they found the empty tomb. And they've been told that Jesus is raised, that he's gone, that he has come back to life. And so they've come back and they've told these disciples this good news. But the disciples are still struggling to figure out, okay, what exactly is going on? So that's where we are. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing them. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back, saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see." And I want us to stop there real quick. So I want you to see what Jesus' followers are doing here. Do you see how they're struggling to see the picture? It's like they're holding all of these puzzle pieces. And you see them kind of struggling to put these puzzle pieces together. They're saying, okay, we had this Jesus. We were following this Jesus. And we actually thought he was going to be the one to redeem Israel. But our chief priests and our rulers, our leaders, actually put him to death. They crucified him. But now we're being told that he's come back to life. And so they're struggling to put all of these pieces of the story together, but they can't see how it connects. So I want us to see how Jesus responds to them. So he said to them, "O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?" Let's stop there again real quick. I actually really love this. We might look at that and we might see, oh, foolish ones and slow of heart to believe. And that might feel like a condemnation, but I don't think it was. I think it was actually the Lord looking compassionately at his followers and saying, you just don't get it. You just don't see it. But then let's see what he does, because he doesn't just leave them there in that condemnation or in that guilt, right? It says, in beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. I love that. He actually interpreted to them. Can you imagine? I read an article pretty recently that called this the most epic Bible story of all time. I think that's pretty true, right? Can you imagine Jesus himself opening up Genesis 3 and saying, okay, in Genesis 3, where it says that there's going to be an offspring who is going to crush the head of the serpent, Jesus himself interpreting that and going, hey, that's pointing to me. That seems pretty epic. So, all right, we're going to keep going real quickly. So they drew near to the village to which they were going, and he acted as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, saying, stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent. So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed, and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. Y'all, that like brings me to tears. I'm a teary teacher. Y'all are going to learn that about me over the next 10 weeks. I hope you're okay with it. So, their eyes were open and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scripture? Oh, man. We're going to skip down real quickly to verse 44. So, just to give a little more context here. So what happens in those intervening verses is these disciples actually go running back to Jerusalem to tell everybody else what has just happened. And so as they are among all of their other friends, all of these other disciples, Jesus suddenly appears in their midst. And he said to them, these are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, thus it is written, that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. Your witnesses of these things, and behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. What changed for those disciples? What changed for them is that Jesus himself opened up the scriptures and he interpreted them for them. It actually says that he opened their minds to understand. He opened their minds to recognize him and to understand the scriptures. And I think both of those are really key for us to understand. They weren't just understanding the scriptures. He was actually opening up their eyes to see him in those scriptures, and that is such a gift. This is our hope and our prayer over the next 10 weeks of this study, because just like Jesus' disciples, our eyes have to be open to understand Jesus on the pages of our Bible and to understand how this story is all about him. So, thinking back to the picture of the cow, what made the clues helpful was that they established context, right? So we've already talked about that. When I pointed to the ears, to the nose, that gave you the context that you needed. This study that we're going to do, even better than Eden, it's going to help us to do the same thing with the Bible. It's going to equip us to see the context and to see the storylines that connect all of Scripture. So these connections, these storylines, bridge every book of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. And seeing the stories there is going to equip us to dig into books of the Bible that may have felt inaccessible. So I already told you that my own personal study of the word has really been revolutionized over the past couple of years, and really, honestly, just over the past couple of months as I've been working on this study. What has happened for me? Well, okay, I'm going to back up here real quickly. One of the things that we say very often in our women's Bible studies, if you've done one here at Providence before, we talk about three steps to studying the Bible. We talk about observing, interpreting, and then applying. And we talk about them in that order. that we open up our Bibles, and if we're studying Galatians, for example, we open up Galatians, and we look at Galatians 1, and we see, what does this text say? We observe what it says, and then we ask, what does it mean? What is the author trying to say here? And then the last step is we apply it to our lives. We say, how does this change me, right? I honestly have really, really struggled all of my life with the last two steps of that. Can anybody else with me? Interpreting and applying, is that hard for anyone else? I think it's kind of easy to observe scripture and to see, like, what are the repeated words? What's the sentence structure? Like, we can do that. Like, we kind of learn how to do that even in elementary school, right? So we're equipped for that. But interpreting and applying feels really difficult. What we are studying through Even Better Than Eden is biblical theology. And biblical theology has been probably the primary tool that has helped me to interpret and to apply scripture. So we're going to use that term frequently over the next 10 weeks. Nancy's going to use it a little bit in the book as well. I'm going to go ahead and confess to you that I had no idea what it meant. At the beginning of this year, even, I didn't know what biblical theology meant. I really thought that biblical theology just meant sound doctrine. That it just meant, like, okay, that we're taking what we understand about God directly from the Bible. And that is sound doctrine, and that is definitely something that we are behind. But biblical theology is actually something different. Biblical theology is actually a study of the Bible as one story. So I'm going to use a helpful definition here. Biblical theology is a way of reading the Bible as one story by one divine author that culminates in who Jesus Christ is and what he has done, so that every part of Scripture is understood in relation to him. I'm going to say that again because I think it's helpful. Biblical theology is a way of reading the Bible as one story by one divine author that culminates in who Jesus Christ is and what he has done, so that every part of Scripture is understood in relation to him. So I want you to notice three things here, and we're going to fly through them pretty quickly. First of all, the Bible has one author. That one author is God. We know that the Bible had a variety of human authors who actually put pen to paper, right? But we believe that each and every one of them was inspired by God. 2 Timothy 3:16 tells us that all scripture is breathed out by God. And 2 Peter 1:20 through 21 says, no prophecy of scripture comes from someone's own interpretation, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So the Bible has one author, and that's God. And second, the Bible has one subject, and that subject is Jesus Christ. So we saw that even as we looked in Luke 24, right? Jesus was interpreting to the disciples how all of the scriptures were about him, how they concerned him. So every book of the Bible, when it talks about the scriptures in Luke 24, it's talking about our Old Testament. Obviously, the New Testament was still being written, but it was talking about the Old Testament. So Genesis to Malachi, even those books point to Jesus. They are all about him. And then thirdly, the Bible has one story. So as you dig into Even Better Than Eden, it's going to be important to remember that, because this even says 9 ways the Bible story changes everything about your story. And when you open up to the table of contents in this book, you're going to see that we've got 9 different chapters that are all titled The Story of the Wilderness, The Story of the Tree. So we've got 9 different stories. But I want you to remember, ladies, that each one of those is pointing to the one story of the Bible. Nancy will say this too, even in the introduction, that what we are talking about here is 9 different angles or perspectives on one story. So we're going to talk really quickly on what that one story is. There's 2 different tools that we are going to use kind of throughout this study. The first one, it's just 4 words that sum up the story of the Bible. And some of you may already be familiar with this. So these 4 words that we are going to use are creation, fall, redemption, and consummation. If you're like me, you may have heard restoration here in the past instead of consummation. I think Nancy is going to present a really, really, really good argument for consummation. I'm kind of crazy about the argument that she presents, because what it says is that way back here in creation, it still wasn't perfect. What God created in Genesis 1 and Genesis 2 was very, very good, but it was going to be even better, right? God gave a command to Adam and Eve in Genesis 1 and 2. He commanded them to be fruitful and multiply. He commanded them to cultivate the earth. He commanded them to fill the earth. So Eden, what he created way back here in Genesis 1, was going to be something even better. It was going to expand. It was going to fill all of the earth. And so we are going to see, as we walk through this story, we're going to see how that happens in the new heavens and the new earth. So every week as we look at this 9 stories, we're going to see these themes. We're going to start just about every week. You're going to open up your Bibles to Genesis 1 through 3, and we're going to see creation. We're going to see what the original Eden looked like. And then we're going to look at the fall that happens in Genesis 3 pretty early on. So in Genesis 3, we are going to see how sin distorted the original creation. And then the largest portion of the Bible story is focused on the fall and on redemption. So we're going to spend a lot of our time there. We're going to see what God is doing. We're going to see how he is working to redeem his creation through his son, Jesus Christ. And finally, we're going to look at the consummation, what Nancy in the book calls Eden 2.0. And we're going to see the hope of glory. We're going to see the eternal city that's waiting for us, and we're going to see that it's even better than Eden. The second tool is one that if you did our Women's Institute this summer, this might be familiar to you. We're going to look at a pattern that runs throughout each one of these 9 stories. And that pattern is God's people in God's place, under God's rule, and enjoying God's blessing. So this was what God originally created. This is the beginning of the story, and this is the end of the story. And it also is what we see at every step along the way. So God created, in the original Eden, his people in his place. They were under his rule, and they were enjoying his blessing. In Genesis 3, we see that get distorted when they reject God's rule. Adam and Eve reject God's rule. But we are going to see how God is working to restore all of that. He's working to redeem all of that through his son. And then we're going to see in Revelation 22 the most beautiful picture of God's people in God's place. Y'all, I can't say it without crying. God's people in God's place, dwelling in his presence, under his rule, enjoying his blessing. So we're going to see this throughout. I'm really excited about these next 3 weeks in particular, because we're going to really see this pattern super clearly in these first 3 weeks of our study. Next week, we're going to, or not next week, 2 weeks, don't come back next week. But in 2 weeks, we're going to be looking at the story of the wilderness. And as we look at the story of the wilderness, we're going to see the idea of God's place very, very, very clearly. We're going to see that God's place is sometimes unexpected, may not look like what we expect it to look like. The following week, we are going to see the story of the tree, which may be my favorite, spoiler alert. But we're going to see God's rule and God's blessing linked there, that you don't have one without the other. God's blessing comes through a life submitted to his rule. And then finally, right in our last week before Christmas, we're going to look at God's people as we study the image of God and what it looks like to look like God, our creator. So we're going to talk about the study itself, and we're going to go real quickly through this. So in your groups, you received a workbook and then a copy of Nancy's book. If you didn't get a copy of the book tonight or this morning, that's totally fine. We're going to have some more copies of this on Sunday morning. We ran out this morning, but we'll have copies available in the Connection Center on Sunday morning. So if you didn't get one, stop by there on Sunday and we'll make sure you get a copy. But you're going to be totally fine, because we are going to encourage you not to read the book until you do the study. So we do inductive Bible studies here at Providence, right? That's what we do usually. We open a book of the Bible and we go verse by verse through that Bible, and through that book of the Bible. And what we ask you to do in those inductive studies is we ask you not to look at commentaries. We ask you not to Google what John Piper or Jen Wilkin has to say about this passage, right? We ask you to do the work yourself first. And I'm going to ask you to do the same thing in this study. Even though the format looks a little bit different, and even though we're not going verse by verse through a book of the Bible, I want you to do the homework. I want you to be in those scriptures that Nancy is laying out for you in the study. And the reason is, I think that's where the magic is going to happen. That's where the Lord is going to open your mind and open your eyes to understand. And I want you to experience that for yourself. I want you to experience that not relying on me, not relying on Nancy and the book, not relying on your small group leaders, but I want you actually in the text discovering it for yourself and allowing the Holy Spirit to open your mind and to open your eyes to understand. Y'all, that's where the excitement for God's word is going to build. As you see it come to life, as you start to see these connections on the pages of scripture, that's where you're going to get excited then to open it up to another book of the Bible and to see that connection there. So I'm so excited for that. I do want to say, that means that you're going to be a little uncomfortable at times. There have been some questions in this study that have stumped me, I'm not kidding, literally for weeks, where I have sat and I've gone, I don't understand what she's getting at here. I really, really, really don't understand this. I want to submit to you, though, that that's actually a really good thing. If you are stumped by a question, chances are you're probably going to be thinking about that scripture over and over and over as you go throughout your day. It's going to continue to be in your mind. And ladies, that's meditating on scripture. That's actually a really, really, really good thing. That is a gift. And so lean in. When you have those difficult questions, like, just continue to think about them. Continue to pray that the Lord would open your mind to understand. Our goal is not that you have the perfect answer to every question. Our goal is just that you are in the Word. That you are in the Word and allowing the Lord to open your mind to understand there. So a little bit about the format of the study. Each week you're going to start out in your small groups like you did this morning. And your small group leaders are going to lead a discussion around the week's homework. This is going to be a really, really rich time because this is a time where you get to come and you get to show the women in your group or tell the women in your group what the Lord is teaching you. And you get to hear from them what the Lord is teaching them. But I want to recognize that that has the potential to bring up two different feelings in us. And so I want us just to confront the elephant in the room and talk about those two feelings. So the first one might be, you might feel fear around that. That maybe you're thinking about that small group and you're going, oh my goodness. I'm going to walk in there, and I'm really scared that these women are going to see what I don't know about the Bible. I'm just going to confess, I've been there. Like, I have felt that fear. But ladies, I want to say, we don't have room for that fear here. So, I want you to do this. It's totally corny. I'm going to admit that. But I want you to take that. If you feel that fear, I want you to just kind of take your hands and just wad it up. Just bear with me on this. We're just going to throw it away because we don't have room for it, okay? And then the second feeling, and I'm going to confess, I am really prone to this one. Maybe you are in this room and you're a professional Bible studier. You've been in Bible studies all your lives, right? And so you know the answers. And so can we just confess that sometimes as we're studying the Bible throughout the week, there might be some moments that we're like writing down an answer and we're going, oh, I can't wait to share this one. Oh, this is going to be good. I can't wait to impress the women. I'm feeling really vulnerable here. Please tell me I'm not the only one who has ever felt this. If you feel that pride, I want you to do the same thing. Like, just wad it up and we're going to throw it away because we don't have room for it. And here's the reason that we don't have room for it. Because that fear and that pride puts the focus completely on us. And ladies, that's not where our eyes need to be. Our eyes need to be on the God who wrote this word. On the God who has the power to open our minds, to understand, to open our eyes, to see. And so we're going to approach this in humility And we are going to approach it asking him to root out that fear in us and to root out that pride in us and to give us a humble understanding of his word. So after your small groups, you're going to come in here for teaching. So Leah Jones is teaching the evening study. She and I are both going to be teaching from either one or two parallel texts each week. Like I said, next time around, we're going to be jumping into the story of the wilderness, and we're going to see just a beautiful picture of fall and also of redemption. We're going to see, we're going to look at the Israelites in the wilderness, and we're going to see how they responded to their wilderness journey, and then we're going to contrast that with the way that Jesus responded in the wilderness. Going back to Luke 24, there's just one last thing that I want to say there. I really, really love verse 32 of Luke 24. They said to each other, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?" And ladies, this is my prayer for you, for me, for each one of us. My prayer is that the Lord would open our eyes, open our minds to understand, but even more than that, or maybe not even more, but just as equally, that he would cause our hearts to burn within us. Because ladies, if we just approach this word and we just understand, but we don't fall more in love with Jesus, that's a loss. What we want is to understand scripture more, but we want to be drawn to the Lord of that scripture. We want our hearts to burn within us, that we would feel a deeper love and a deeper longing for Jesus. So we're going to close here. I'm actually going to lead us just in a short time of prayer. And so I want you just to bow your heads and pray where you are. And I'm going to ask you to pray for three things. First, I want you to pray that the Spirit would open your mind to understand, and that he would cause your heart to burn with a new love and a new longing for Jesus. Take just a minute, and then I'm going to pray. And I want you to pray that the Lord will use your time in his word to cause you to love Jesus more and to long for his return even more than you do today. And then lastly, I want you to pray that he'll move you to follow him in obedience and faith. Father, I thank you that you have revealed yourself to us in your word. I thank you that you open hearts and minds to understand. And I thank you that you cause our hearts to burn within us. And Father, I pray for each woman here. I pray that as she opens her study, even today, I pray, Lord, that you would begin that work, that you would open hearts and minds to understand. Father, I pray that you would open hearts and minds to see you, maybe even for the very first time, that these women would see you on the pages of Scripture. And as they see you, that they would love you more, and that we would long for that day when you return, when you bring us to dwell with you in your presence. Father, I pray that that love and that longing would move us to action. I pray that it would move us to obedience and to following you in faith. And so, Father, I just pray for each one of these women. I pray in expectant hope that you are going to do a powerful thing through your word. not through any of us as individuals, but through your word, which is living and active. Father, I pray that we would see its activity over the next 10 weeks. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.